Kaya, Wanju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boolu, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. Over the span of 11 minutes, the impressive short film, Yeah, the Boys, sways and swerves through a boozy night with the lads in a nondescript backyard Australia. Drinking culture, Aussie larrikinism, and the masculinity that finds fertile ground in these areas is brought to life with a pulsing score by the Avalanches. Oh, and all of this is presented with an organic dance movement choreographed by Vanessa Marin. Yeah, The Boys is written by Vanessa, with her partner Stefan Hunt taking directing duties. The titular boys are Nevin Connolly, Kieran Crowe, Hadley Davidson, Jackson Garcia, Jordan Hill, Rob McLean, with Bailey Spaulding appearing at the short's start. It is, quite simply, one of the most unique and invigorating slices of Aussie cinema you'll see this year. And after winning the Best Australian Short Award at the Oscar qualifying Flickerfest in 2024, and winning the Innovation Award at the St Kilda Film Festival, where it also was nominated for Best Cinematography, Yeah, The Boys also received nominations for Best International Short at the Palm Springs Short Fest. Now's your chance to watch the film, which is online from 15th of October. Ahead of the film's launch on Vimeo, YouTube, and Instagram, I caught up with Stefan and Vanessa to talk about the process of planning and creating Yeah, The Boys. I also asked Vanessa about how she managed to flow organic, natural movement in with the boys dancing. Before I close the chat with asking Stefan about how Yeah, The Boys plays into his relationship and view of death. This really is an interview that goes everywhere. For those interested in Stefan's work and including delving into his views on death, then head over to stefanhunt.com. For everybody else, stick around and check out the short, which will be available in the show notes, which will be on thecurb.com.au. Yeah, The Boys is a truly fantastic realisation of creativity let loose, embracing Australiana, warts and all. It stands as a reminder why Aussie films of all lengths need to be recognised and celebrated. Short films are films. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this interview with myself, Stefan, and Vanessa. And if you enjoy what we do, then I really hope that you head over and support us. The Curb is a completely independent website that lives on the support of listeners and readers just like yourself. If you can and want to support us, please visit patreon.com/thecurbau to help keep our lights on from as little as $1 a month. For now, here is a very short slice of the score by the Avalanches, followed by the interview with Stefan and Vanessa. Thank you so much for your time to be able to talk about your seriously stunning short film, Yeah, The Boys. Like, I saw it earlier this year and with Flickerfest, and I was just blown away by it. And then I've revisited it throughout the year, and having seen a bunch of different films that have kind of explored masculinity, and some of them are like 2.5 hours long, and I'm like, just get to the point. Like, Yeah, The Boys did in 8 minutes, and you know, how come you can't just get to the point? And then I revisited it, I'm like, oh yeah, right, this is what exploring masculinity is about. And I'm curious if you can both talk about that purpose and that drive to be able to explore masculinity in the way that you do in Yeah, The Boys.
Sure. I mean, I might kick it off because yeah. I love what you have to say about this and the why of why we did it all. But I think for us, so much of the time when masculinity is explored, it's really one-dimensional. And a lot of the time it's like, you know, men are toxic and there are those qualities that exist for sure. But we obviously understand that they coexist with tenderness and larrikinism and all of these other things that make up what it is to be a man and a human. And so we wanted a film that could touch on nearly what you'd call like the good, the bad and the ugly and the beautiful of what it means to be a man in Australia, how we show affection, how we don't show it, and how alcohol plays a big part in, you know, showing all sides of friendship and being a male. But what would you add to that?
I think you kind of summed it up pretty well there, Steph. I think it was really interesting for me through like a female lens, also like as an immigrant, I couldn't think of anything further from my lived experience than like a backyard sesh of like Aussie blokes drinking beers. I've never sunk a full beer in my life. So for me, it was just a really interesting experiment on identity and telling a story that isn't your story to tell. And can you do it authentically or can you do it well? And to me, the litmus was if Aussie blokes can come up to us after and be like, you nailed it. Like I know that backyard sesh. I know that guy. I am that guy. That's when I feel like, okay, we nailed it. So for me, very quickly, I realized I couldn't do it and on my own. I just didn't understand what Aussie dudes get up to when they're like 4 hours deep. So it was really great to bring Stefan along on board for this project, not just as a director, but as our cultural advisor. So it was just that awesome intel there. So it was just this kind of tongue-in-cheek way of trying to explore this topic for me.
Yeah. It's interesting you use the term cultural advisor, because usually that's, you know, something like a CALD background or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not usually a white man, but that is a huge aspect of being a cultural advisor. It is talking about your own personal lived experience. And I'm curious then, Steph, if you can talk about what kind of research you possibly did, you know, in inverted commas for tax purposes or whatever for the actual project. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like Ness said, this is like, it's just men drinking beers in a backyard. It's very simple. So what I was able to do was just take a lifetime of observing that and partaking in it. But I didn't actually grow up drinking. I started drinking a little later in life. But just being able to think about different people I've interacted with over time and kind of put those characters and all the dynamics that play the alpha and all of those different types of people. Like I could basically point to every character in this film and go, I know this guy from my high school or that guy from my 20s or whatever it is. So I think it's just about existing as a male in Australia who partakes in this and being able to put that on all of the characters, and hence why nothing is over the top crazy, like, you know, Southern Cross tattoos and trying to be overtly Australian. It's just, yeah, everyday guy. That's what we were trying to go for. And that's why we think it's been really relatable and had such a good response, because we're not trying to lean into tropes. It's just, this is life.
Yeah. And yeah, for me, I think the person or the lens I identify with most is the camera, the sober person in those situations, just watching it unfold. And what was really cool about this project was for a lot of people that really, really, really recognize that backyard sesh, it may or may not have been the first time they've actually watched it sober. So it was kind of confronting in that sense, you know? And yeah, it was just, it was just really fun to kind of just spitball with the dancers as well and what their take on it was, because they're nothing like the characters that they played, but also very much like the characters. Like they're larrikins and they were themselves, but they're not as toxic as that.
Yeah.
So it was just really fun. I think that was the big development process.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, I mean, for a lot of Aussie people, doesn't matter what gender you are, it's going to be very easy to tap into that kind of culture and understand that life. It is part of what being Australian is, which leads into talking about the dancers, I guess. How did you cast them and what kind of brief did you give them as you enlisted them to be this troop of men?
Yeah, so I'm a street dancer and they're just all friends. That's it.
Nice.
There was like a bunch of my mates and they are, I guess one is friendship and second, there's a lot of mutual trust. So they were just really open to doing whatever we asked them to do. And then we kind of created the perfect mix of personalities. So they all know each other anyway, but there was this perfect mix of personalities within that dynamic, wasn't there? Where it's like, as soon as Jack comes, you know, into the room, he's kind of like, what would you call it? Like putting bicarb in vinegar. Like he just gets the whole room like really riled up, and then you see the flow on effect and Rob tends to balance. It was just a beautiful thing to just work with that. The development, actually unfolded over 4 years or something, because the project just kept getting stop-started for floods and COVID and lockdowns and all sorts of things. But every single time we came back to a development, we had all grown as people and the project just became more nuanced, we feel, as a result.
Yeah, I'd also say, in addition to that, like these dancers, they were telling us after the project, so much of the time in the dance industry, the roles they're doing, I don't know if you would say they're more sensitive or they're dancing with, you know, a lot of women, they rarely get the opportunity, if ever, to just be as boisterous and manly and, you know, let out all of that energy which exists in a lot of us, and it's fun, but they
felt safe because it was rehearsed and contained. It never felt right, because in a lot of those situations, it is fun to be a larrikin, it is fun to be boisterous, it is fun to tussle, but there's always that fine line of like, oh, when's this gonna flip? Whereas in this space, they always had that safety. And I think they also mentioned they really liked having a lot of the, because it was myself and I had Alice Robinson, who was my assistant, and a few other assistants as well. They was like, oh, we really like that it was led by women, because we'd bring the energy down with a meditation and then we'd bring it up with, like, you know, a mosh pit or whatever it was. So they really enjoyed that and the safety within it too, from what they told us.
What I'm surprised about, and maybe it shouldn't be such a surprise, but it is when you actually get to see it on screen, is how close the movements are to real life, right? And you know, an afternoon sesh or whatever it is, there is something that's very balletic about it. There's something that is very much like a dance. And I'm curious if you can talk about that choreography of finding the natural movements and flowing it into one kind of sweeping motion, as we see in the film.
Great question.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to start and then I'm going to get you to finish it, because Steph really tidied it all up, I feel, with his, like, with his eye and what he wanted to be captured, you know, within the lens, within the frame. But a lot of it was choreographing movement A to B and then being like, let's make this part a shui, let's make this part a crowd surf, let's make, you know, whatever it was. And then Alice, who has contemporary and ballet training, did a lot of training with the boys on things like lifts and falls, safely falling, things like that. And because they're already dancers, all of them are break dancers and pretty trained in that sense, they kind of took to it very quickly. And then what we found, especially for the final scene where they're like basically blind, drunk sort of thing, it was very dancey, wasn't it, initially? And Steph came in and was like, it looks too much like a dance. How do we pull it back and make it pedestrian? So there was a lot of that stuff where, you know, their heads are sort of nodding and they're sort of falling asleep. And that was, and it's all choreographed to the beat of the music as well. So we would kind of push it in the dance realm and then we'd say, how do we take the dance out of it but keep the technique in there, the lifts, the throws, the falls, and the timing of even just going off screen, running around behind the camera, coming back on screen with a beer that's been topped up so that they can spit it out or throw it, you know, like there was so much choreography. Every single millisecond of the entire film is completely choreographed.
And I think to add to that, we didn't want it to be a dance film. Like, we love this idea of blending genre. And so rather than calling it dance, we just refer to it as movement, which is what Vanessa specializes in. And it's, I think if you're watching it for the first time and you don't know what you're watching, it's only at a certain point where you're like, oh, are they dancing? Like, it doesn't come across as this like 5, 6, 7, 8. It is just this movement, but it's all in sync with the music and the camera. And it nearly, like we've said, it's like the camera is sober and it's like poetically moving through a very wild, drunk evening. And then by the end, watching a group of 6 guys try to help up the drunkest friend and get him onto a couch, it's somehow this like beautiful, poetic, contemporary dance. But it's what it looks like sometimes. Like, they're all over each other. And we've seen it in the street on your way home from a night out. And we thought, well, how funny would this be as a movement piece.
But it's not just funny, it's also really moving. It's
100%.
Yeah, and I'm curious, like, it's traveled around to different festivals and stuff. What kind of reactions have you had to that kind of emotion at the end of it as well? What have people said to you about it?
The thing that we love about this film is, I guess what we were trying to achieve in it was asking this question to the audience. Larrikinism is funny in Australia and such a big part of our culture, but when is it not funny anymore? And we found that depending on your lived experience, whether you're male or female or a person of colour or queer, it's at a really different point in the film where it's not funny anymore. Sometimes the opening scene, there's people where they're like, I hate these guys. Whereas other guys who probably really relate to the characters might find it funny until two-thirds of the way through, and then they go, oh, I'm a bit uncomfortable now. And so that's what we've found really interesting, is how has the crowd responded individually? And then, around Australia, I think just across the board, people have gone, this feels so true and so Aussie. But taking it overseas, I just got a message this morning from someone in Germany who watched it over the weekend, and they just wrote and said, this is my upbringing. Like, this captured my youth.
Really?
So well.
And they're German?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's very cool that it's universal as well.
Like, cool or disappointing? No, I know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's universal that men just behave like this everywhere. No, the other thing that we really love is, our favourite is when an Aussie audience watches it and we get to sit in and amongst an Aussie audience taking it in, because when we took it to Palm Springs International Short Fest, they liked it, they loved it, it was great, but there were so many things that went over their heads, right? Because it wasn't on the nose. We're in Australia, it didn't have all the cliche symbols, but what we realized that Aussies subliminally picked up on were things like, there were dudes bare feet in thongs in the backyard. There was a Colourbond fence. There's a wheelie bin. It's just all those things that would mean nothing to very little to someone. A shoey, right? Like those.
The hills hoist as well. Like
the hills hoist. Yeah. Things like that, where without using a flag or a kangaroo or red dirt, that those are very specific things that only Aussies are like, that's definitely an Aussie film. Whereas other people were like, overseas were like, is that British? Is that, they didn't quite pick up on where it was from necessarily. So
we've loved sharing it with an Australian audience more than anywhere else. Like, it's made for Australians. It's great if people overseas enjoy it, but yeah, it really feels like part of our culture.
Weaving in a huge part of the culture and a part of the film, of course, is the music, which is a distinctly Australian group. And I'm curious if you can talk about the path to getting the Avalanches on board. And did they score it first, or as you were saying, you did some choreography to the music. So how did that kind of relationship evolve?
The whole thing was choreographed to different music and filmed to different music beforehand. And then afterwards, we decided we didn't want to get the rights to the music we actually wanted to get an original score, and we wanted an iconic Aussie band, and we wanted the Avalanches, and we were like, that's a stretch. But one thing I love about Steph is that instead of just finding a composer and being like, can you use the Avalanches as a reference? Just like, why don't we just see if anyone we know knows anyone who knows anyone who knows someone connected to the Avalanches? And so, yeah.
We ended up getting the film in front of them, and they watched it and just loved it. Like, being Australian and, again, growing up in, country Victoria, saw it and just said, yep, completely know this, would love to work on this. And so then we went through the process of creating the music. And the thing we loved so much about not only having an iconic Aussie group, but someone like the Avalanches, is that, again, for an Australian audience to listen to the soundtrack and there's samples of the ABC Rage theme song, or there's kookaburras that are sampled in. And it's what the Avalanches do so well, sampling of the, Australian culture into this particular score. It just adds those extra layers that make Aussies go, oh yeah, this is us, or part of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. You're saying all those sounds of nature and stuff like that. And you know, it's so important as well, the visuals of the backyard, which we've talked about too. It is such a distinctly Australian thing. I loved it, to, you know, a huge praise from me. But I'm curious then if you can both talk about what it's like to work as partners and what that relationship was like. Do you have highs and lows, and how you deal with that kind of relationship on set and in the pre-production and post-production phase?
I'll let you go first, because then I can gauge what to say from there.
Wise move, yes.
No, there aren't that many lows, are there? We've been working together for a long time, and in the beginning, one thing we realized very quickly is that our relationship is more important than any artistic, you know, vanity and the creation of any work. So before we go, especially onto set or when we're in a room full of other people, we always have like a little moment together where we're like, we love each other. This is more important than the project itself. And then we go in and we make sure that when we're working together in the presence of other people, we treat each other just like co-workers, which means if someone has an awful idea, you respond to it the way you would any other collaborator, in that you let them finish, you know, fleshing it out or voicing it, and then you workshop it thoughtfully in the way you would with any other coworker. So that, I feel like that's our little trick, right?
That's definitely how we've learned to work really well together. And I think in addition to that, because we've been together for so long now, as partners and collaborators, we just really understand each other's strengths. So, you know, Vanessa's the really smart, intelligent, amazing one, and I am just kind of like a golden retriever with ideas, but we, you know, work together and we make things happen, and it just works really well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Stefan visually tells a story. He's like a directing genius. The way he sees things is often something that no one else on set can fully understand till you finish filming the scene and you're like, that's what you were talking about. That is insane. I've never seen it before. So there's a really good two-way flow, I think, in that sense. Yeah.
I just, one of the things which I always tell people is that films are much better with dancing in it. Like, a film can never be worse if you have a dance sequence in it, and it's always going to be enjoyable and elevated, or at least add some depth to it. And I'm curious if you can talk about, you know, we don't really get to see dancing in Australian films very often. There's Spear is one of the films that has dance in it, and that's really about it. There are, of course, others, but I'm curious the importance of spotlighting Australian styles of dance. Vanessa, for you, it's particularly from a street dancing perspective. Like, it's a style that we don't really get to see or experience very often. So what's it mean to be able to spotlight that on screen?
Oh, I love this question. Where do I even start? I think a lot of the times when dance is brought onto a project in film, I work a lot in advertising as well, it's the afterthought, and every other department, I feel like in film, you understand it, right? When lighting comes on board, you understand what they need to get prepped, how much funding or money they need, all of those things. And there's the artistry and the merit of every single department. And then dance comes on board and it's always like, yeah, we've got this actor, can you just on the day come in and just teach them a couple of fun moves? And it's just slapped on at the end. And what I really love about, yeah, the boys, it's actually one of the reasons I wanted to create this piece, was because I wanted to show people what it is when you start with the dance, you create the dance and you build all the other elements of film around it. The costuming, can they move in it properly? The flooring, is it dangerous? Like, what is the grip on it? Like, what, you know, how can you actually move around that space? The camera work, it should be choreographed alongside the movement. Same with the edit, same with the music. Like, it should actually be the first thing that is brought on. So I guess to your point, as much as I'd love a lot more dance in film, I'd love for people to actually know how to incorporate it into the film in the first place, because I don't think it's done well a lot of the time when I watch it on screen. And even more than dance, I just think movement. I really notice in TV shows when there's good movement direction versus a lack of it, or maybe not as strong movement direction, and it makes so much difference. The body language, the blocking of the characters, the way the wind is blowing through the trees outside, contrasting the stillness of the subjects inside. Like, I'm such a nerd for it. And I think filmmakers should really think of it as a department and think about bringing it onto their projects. So, and to that point, we are currently actually in the process of developing a TV show, which is a dry satire about the friendships, dramas, and what else would you say? The crumbling aspirations of wannabe backup dancers in the Australian dance industry. So that's going to definitely cover the intersection of all the different subcultures of dance in Australia in a really dryly satirical way.
Oh, look, I'm hooked already. That's exactly what I'm interested in. I love that kind of stuff. Yeah. And Stefan, I guess as a last closing question, this is, I don't really want to end on a dour question, but I'm very curious, like you've talked about being creative as a, almost as a reaction to death in a way, and you know the logic around death and trying to understand death, and I'm curious what you learned about death doing Yeah the Boys. It's a broad question, but it might be something that you might be able to kind of touch on or some way.
Wow, it's a great question, and I do love talking about death. I guess for context, for anyone that doesn't know, I created a project called We're All Gonna Die, which is basically looking at life through the lens of death and how precious it is, this ultimate perspective check on, you know, how we face our fears. In terms of how it relates to Yeah the Boys, it's the first time I've ever actually stopped to think about it right now in this moment. What do you think, Ness? Is there anything that comes to mind in terms of this project? I mean, I can talk to just the process of I guess the older I get in creating things like Yeah the Boys, where to me, Vanessa and I love creating something we haven't seen before. We love originality and evoking emotions in ways that we haven't seen done. And I think, you know, the We're All Gonna Die project, this is very, it's a far stretch, but it really empowered me to not worry so much about what people think, what an audience thinks. It's more just, I'm gonna make this film for myself or this painting or this drawing because I will enjoy it, and if it resonates, great, and if it doesn't, it's not the end of the world, I'm going to die someday. So it's a far stretch, but I think in terms of putting art into the world, it's given me a lot of it's really empowered me to not worry so much about what an audience thinks.
I think when you were doing that project, we were in our late 20s as well, and we hadn't really experienced death in a close way at that point. And yet there was a perspective shift. And if I were to just move the camera, you can see we have a We're All Going to Die neon sign in our house. So it is a constant reminder in our household. And as we've gotten older and we've done a death walking course, and we've also just brushed up against death and mortality and friends aging and parents and all sorts of things like that a lot more, it really has consistently put into perspective what matters in life. And so, yeah, again, projects like this, it's less about the artistry of it and, you know, the meritocracy of how well it's received. Of course, we're going to give it a red hot go. We hope people love it. But it's very much about the process, the development, the way people felt and, the way we treated each other and what we got out of it, how we grew from it. Like, that means more to us than anything else.
I think for us on our last two projects that we've worked on, Yeah the Boys and another short film called They Saw the Sun First, both times we've woken up the day after the shoot and felt really fulfilled. It hasn't even been edited. It hasn't even been shared with the world, but we're really happy. We're like, that's enough. And you don't get that on a lot of projects.
Yeah.
So I think it's, for us, it's about the process and how we interact with the people around us and create art together.
Yeah.
I think that's a really beautiful answer, and it's been great to be able to talk with you both, but I was a bit apprehensive about closing an interview on a question about death, but I think that it's something that we don't always talk about, and that's what I've appreciated about your work, Stefan, is that you do spotlight it and you do talk about it, and you say it's okay to talk about these things, and then we get a project like this that comes out of it that's not related to death at all, but it is driven by this desire to put something into the world. And it's so beautiful and so brilliant. I'm excited to see your working relationship continue to grow, and the series as well sounds really exciting. I've had a real delight being able to talk with you both. Thank you so much for your time and the generous answers as well.
Are the feelings mutual? Like it means a lot when people have ask good questions and you can really feel it. And it means a lot that you gave us your time, but you really gave us yourself and your enthusiasm. It means a lot to
us. Yeah, we really appreciate it, Andrew. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to this interview with Stefan Hunt and Vanessa Merriam for their film, Yeah, the Boys, which is available online on YouTube, Vimeo, and on Instagram from the 15th of October. Visit the show notes at thecurb.com.au to watch the film. For now, we'll see you on the next one.